For our Bible reading tonight, if you'll turn to James chapter 4, we'll read verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. There James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin."
Sometimes folks say something about their favorite passage. Randy, I remember Matthew 7:21. Someone asked me about my favorite passage, and I'm not so sure that I could tell you the answer to that. It depends on what I'm studying at the time. But this is certainly one that most of us are familiar with. And we talk about the brevity of life, and we look at this passage, James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, the writer introduces this concept of "come now." Sometimes we use an expression similar to that just simply to draw attention to something that we want to draw folks' attention to. But I believe in this passage, the writer is doing more than just drawing your attention to something. He's drawing your attention to the urgency of something. Come now. You know, the message of the gospel is a message of now, of urgency. The apostles were instructed to go preach the gospel to every creature. We find that they did that with great diligence, beginning in Acts chapter 2. We see that they suffered tremendously because of their efforts in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's our attitude, however, rather than to see the urgency of now, we want to wait until later. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us would identify ourselves often as procrastinators? Things that we see that need to be done, and we plan to do it, and we have honorable intentions, and as someone has said, the road to hell is paved with honorable intentions. But for some reason, we don't get around to doing it with the urgency that we need in our lives. And that, to me, is something that I can say is personal. I think, well, I need to go see such and such a person. I need to set up a Bible class with this person. But I'll do that tomorrow. You ever find yourself saying that or at least thinking in that vein? And as someone has said, never do today what you can put off until tomorrow. Now, somehow, when we reflect upon tomorrow, we see that tomorrow will be a time when it will be a pleasant occasion to engage in whatever activity that it is or whatever plans that we have. And it won't cost us near as much if we wait till tomorrow. It'll be much more convenient if we just simply do it tomorrow. And so James, with these short few words, "Come now, ye that say tomorrow or today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there." He's drawing attention to the fact that sometimes we're more consumed with material things than we are the spiritual things. And it becomes easy for us to put off important things when we are focusing our attention on making a profit or conducting business or all of the things that we think are necessary to our endeavors in this life. But let me ask you, my beloved friends and brethren, if you only had one day left on earth to live, what would you do with it? There's an Old Testament character who was told, Hezekiah, to set your house in order for you're going to die and not live. Now, Hezekiah didn't know exactly the amount of time that he had left. But let's just for argument's sake and for the point of extending the Lord's invitation and focusing our attention on the urgency of now, let's just say that you knew right now that 24 hours from now you would be dead. How would you spend that 24 hours? I dare say, beloved, that we would begin to place things in a little different order and our ideas of procrastination probably wouldn't be quite as focused as they are now. Precious few ever get such a warning, even as Hezekiah. Set your house in order, for you're going to die. Now, the Scriptures teach us that we know that we're going to die. The wisdom writer said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that the living know they shall die. Now, we know that's going to happen, but we don't anticipate that happening today or tomorrow, do we? And so in our mind, we think, well, we've got plenty of time. You see, if you had only 24 hours to live, how many of you would get up and go to the plant tomorrow and begin building an airplane? Or would you perhaps see some other things as more important than that? Maybe we might focus upon those things that have greater urgency. When James said, "Come now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain." He said, well, you don't know what life's going to be on tomorrow. You don't even know that there's going to be a tomorrow. Isn't it somewhat arrogant to assume that God's going to always bless us with a tomorrow? Well, not always is that the case. And so when the lesson is learned, those who are true to the Lord understand the urgency of today. Now, as we look round about us in our numbers here tonight, we see that we have some that range in age, and we might say all the way from those who are young to those who are old. And those who are young can't wait to get a little older, and those who are old don't know where the time went. And that's just the way that it is, isn't it? Because we put value on time. Time is precious. And it seems the older we get, the more urgent that becomes. But you see, our time is often wasted when we give it to the devil. Someone said we lend it to the devil. No, we don't lend it to him. We give it to him. We lend him our abilities often, but we give him our time. Now, my friend, I want us to think for just a few moments that sin has consequences that extend into eternity. And to get our mind wrapped around that is a hard thing to do. Heard many illustrations of what it is to be eternal, and all of them just kind of stretch our thinking, but leave it undefined. When we think about what we do with today, when we plan for tomorrow, things that we should do today, what are we doing with now? Well, we're putting it off. Someone asked me how old I was when I obeyed the gospel, when I understood that I was lost and I needed a Savior. I needed to do something about my sin. I knew that for about a year before I actually did anything about it. Can any of you even relate to that? Maybe you knew the truth. But it took a while to muster up the courage to do something about it. Make a decision. I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, you see, the water will be warmer, right? Tomorrow it will be more convenient. We don't see the urgency of now. I want us to see that putting things off actually does make a decision. It makes a decision about today. In the book of Acts, in Acts the 24th chapter, we read about a man whose name is Felix. Now you well know about Felix and Drusilla, how that their relationship was not right, how that divorce was in their lives, immorality and poor judgments and misjudgments and bribery and all kinds of ugly things were a part of their existence. But when we read in verse 24, "But after certain days Felix came with Drusilla his wife, who was a Jewess and sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me.' He hoped with all that money would be given him of Paul. Wherefore also he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." And we know that after 2 years he left him in jail, the next verse tells us. But what I want to draw your attention to is that Felix understood what Paul said. When he reasoned regarding righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, there couldn't be any three greater points that would hit home with Felix and Drusilla. And old Felix understood it. The text tells us he was terrified. If Paul accomplished anything on that day, he taught Felix that he was lost. But what did Felix do about it? "When I have a convenient season, I will call you unto me." What did he do with today? Well, he just didn't use it wisely, did he, to say the least. He kicked the can down the road and put it off to another day. We read about Agrippa, in chapter 26. And Agrippa was asked by Paul, "Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." And Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these bonds." Paul was a prisoner. Now, did Agrippa understand what Paul was trying to teach him? "Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Agrippa's response was, "Almost." Now, there's two positions that are taken on that. One is that Agrippa is ridiculing Paul, as if to say, "Do you think with just such a little persuasion you could make a Christian out of me?" Others take the position that Agrippa's really considering. Perhaps so. But the point is, he didn't do anything about it that day, did he? He put it off to another time. And as far as the record is concerned, either Felix or Agrippa, we don't have any evidence that they ever became a Christian. You see, putting off our obedience to the gospel is indeed making a decision about now. Now, some folks think, well, that's not any harm. Well, if you have a tomorrow, perhaps. But perhaps you don't have tomorrow. And that involves a great deal of harm. That involves the loss of your soul. I want to suggest to you that when we extend the Lord's invitation, we hear that frequently. We hear that on Wednesday night. We hear it extended on Sunday morning in these public assemblies. We do that three times a week, extending the Lord's invitation. There's a reason for that, because of its urgency. But you know, sometimes when we see the gospel invitation refused over and over and over, it kind of becomes a hypnotic effect upon us, doesn't it? We expect the preacher to say something about the urgency. We expect to hear about faith and repentance and baptism and that sort of thing. And we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. And we don't make a personal application. And if we do, we just say, "Well, I plan to do that one day." And fail to see the urgency of now. I want to suggest to you, as we think about Felix and Agrippa, here are two men who had opportunity to hear the gospel. We know that Felix was terrified. Paul affirmed, "I know, Agrippa, that you believe what the prophet says." So there wasn't a problem with understanding. The problem was obedience. That was the problem. They put it off to the point that we have no record of them ever obeying the gospel. Maybe this putting things off till tomorrow may have somewhat to do with our having become a Christian, but we're not living right. And we know that. And then we think about, "Well, I need to correct that. And I intend to do that one day." I sometimes have expressed, I did quite a little bit of that this morning, thinking about things that people have said to me and questions that have been asked and statements that have been made. There was a young man in Arkansas where I lived, that fine young fella, had two little girls. He became unfaithful to the Lord. Went to talk to him about his soul. Did that many times. But on one occasion in particular, he said, "Well, I know I'm not doing what's right. I fully intend to correct my life and be restored to the Lord." And he said, "I'm going to do that one day." Now, to my knowledge, he never did do that. But now, my friend, in the meantime, you know what happened? His two little girls grew up. His two little girls got married and they had children of their own. You think his two little girls were faithful to the Lord? What about his grandchildren? And here's a man that just kept putting off doing what he knew he should be doing. He didn't do it. He's a member of the church, but living in sin and never corrected his life. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a man that you're familiar with, Simon, who aforetime practiced sorcery and gave out that he was some great one. And the text tells us that Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, beholding the signs that Philip wrought. And Simon himself was amazed. Who better to know that the things that Philip was doing was from God than a man who practiced sorcery? Indeed. But yet we find that even though this man obeyed the gospel, like the others in Samaria did, the text tells us that when Peter and John came down from Jerusalem to impart the spiritual gifts, that he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this gift." that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what a grand thing that would be, wouldn't it? Not only to have the ability to perform miracles, but be able to enable others to perform miracles. Oh, how great he would be. And Peter said, repent of this thy wickedness. Your heart is not right before God. And Simon, the text tells us, pleaded with Peter to pray for him, that none of these things would come to pass. Now, I want to suggest to you that Simon understood the urgency of that situation. And his desire was, I've got to make this right, and I've got to do that right now. Right now. We can't put things like that off. James said, come now. Now, here's another thing I want us to consider. Perhaps we are putting off simply becoming serious about the kingdom. And we've studied in our Wednesday night Bible class for some time concerning the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the points that has been emphasized is the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. The kind of heart that one needs to have to be acceptable in the kingdom. And in verse 33 of Matthew 6, we've emphasized to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is, it must have first place. Well, you know, there are a lot of things in our life that become pressing, are there not? And sometimes the things in our life take precedent over putting first the kingdom of God. But you see, the question is, are we serious about this or not? When we think about the kingdom, when we think about today, when we think about the church, when we think about eternity, these are things that we've got to consider seriously. The Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, realized the circumstance, no doubt, that he was in. But he said, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, I press on to the things that are before. Got to do that. Got to press on. Thus, the title of our bulletin, I Press. Well, Paul understood that. Even from a Roman prison, here was a choice that he had to make. What becomes first? Well, serving the Lord becomes first. To the Galatians, he wrote, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Now, friend, that has to be every day, and that includes today. Jesus was speaking to three different individuals in Luke's account, in the 9th chapter, and if I can ever get to that, Luke, the 9th chapter. And with every one of them, we find that there was a delay in their desire to follow Him. In Luke chapter 9, reading beginning in verse 57, Luke chapter 9, verse 57, the text tells us that they went on their way, and a certain man said unto him, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But he said unto him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but go thou and publish abroad the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house. Now look at how Jesus responded to that. Verse 62 says, but Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, there's your sermon. I think I preached that here a time or two or three. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, what were these doing? Here were some who were answering the question, and one voluntarily expressed, I'll follow you, but there are other things that I must do first. Well, my question is, were these men serious about the kingdom of God? Were they serious about eternal things? Well, now that raises some interesting questions. If we're really serious about this, then the question has to be asked, what about the things that James says that we know and we put off? In verse 17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here are some things that we know are right. The text of James, particularly chapter 1, verse 27, has been a point of debate for many years. That we're to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But the debate, brethren, is not about institutionalism. The debate is not about the work of the church. The context does not talk about institutions, and it does not talk about the work of the church. It talks about our own individual responsibilities. to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, there are those who are fatherless, and there are those who are widows, there are those who are poor, there are those who are infirm, there are those who are sick, there are those who are engaged in sin that need attention. And I'm sure that we all have good intentions about taking care of those needs. But sometimes it's easy to plan to do that tomorrow. And isn't that the point that James is making? Come now, you that say, tomorrow we'll do this or that. You see, the point is we have now. And what are we to do with now? As we turn into our Bibles, to the book of Titus, chapter 2, and look carefully at verse 14. The writer said concerning Jesus that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it's ready unto every good work. Chapter 3, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. That is, here are some things that are good that we need to tend to, and we need to do that now. The idea is, don't put it off. And then the question, are we putting off quitting sin? Sometimes there are things that we're doing that we know we need to stop doing. And we plan to stop doing that one day. But the day we will do that is tomorrow. In the Roman letter, Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, Paul said, "And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now we read that passage and we say, yeah, Paul's emphasizing the importance of now. It's time to wake up. Yeah, it is. It is. But here are some practices that I'm engaged in that I'm just having a hard time giving up. I plan one day to make the change and quit doing that. And I'll do that tomorrow. How many of us have made that argument? You know, my friends, we all battle sin, do we not? But unfortunately, it becomes our desire to wave the white flag of truce with the devil today and just pray that we live to fight tomorrow. But you see, we're not promised tomorrow. So the white flag of truce with the devil, we can't do that. That's just not an option. And so our point is, we have today. And what did Paul say about today? He said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Come now. Those two little words, they make a fair sermon, don't they? Come now. Gives us some things to think about concerning the urgency of time. Now, perhaps I'm talking to somebody who wants to obey the gospel. Don't just say, "Well, I plan to do that someday." Or, "I know what I need to do, and I'm going to do that." Our urge to you is, do it now. See the urgency of it. Maybe I'm talking to someone who has obeyed the gospel and you're not living right, and you say, "Well, you know, there are things I know I need to fix. There's work to be done that I've neglected. And I'm going to make a change about that tomorrow." That day may never come. And it's presumptuous to assume that it will. It's a promise God never made. But you have today. If we can help you in making your life right before the Lord, make that known while together we stand and sing this song.